Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
One of the difficulties we have in understanding who God is and what He's like is that we don't have anything in our experience that even comes close to the nature and character of God. And we are therefore prone to project onto God those characteristics that apply to men. We tend to want to redefine God into a more human being, even as many times we also exalt human beings into a more godlike description. And I think you can understand what a terrible mistake both of these are. We tend to want to pull God down to our level, and we tend to want to bring ourselves up to God's level and at least make the distance between us not so great as it truly is, and as the Bible teaches us that it is. I suppose in some respects that's exactly what was going on at the Tower of Babel, trying to build a tower that reached to heaven. Why? So that man could get closer to God. And we think of that more or less in spatial terms, geographic terms, that man could actually literally get closer to heaven. But I think the real impetus was the mental concepts behind all that, the ideas. Certainly it was manifested in this tower to reach to heaven, but the real problem was that man thought of himself as being somewhat like God. And wasn't that the problem clear back in the Garden of Eden? The temptation of Satan. Well, when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're not going to die. You're going to become like gods, to know good from evil. And there seems to be something in the heart of man that aspires to that. And I suppose that, too, is a sentiment that in its proper place could be good, but in a sinful heart becomes very evil. In its proper place, that's good. We were created in the image of God, and in our fallen, sinful state, we have fallen so far from that original creation. And yes, it ought to be our desire to be restored to that position. Of course, that's what salvation is all about. The restoration of fallen Adam. The restoration of fallen man who fell in Adam. It is the first Adam that fell. It is the second Adam who triumphed. And as believers, we are being sanctified, which is described in Romans chapter 8 as being conformed into the image of God's Son. We were created in God's image in the garden before the fall. That image, though not completely erased, was marred and greatly marred, was greatly damaged, though there are enough references scattered throughout the Bible to indicate that we are still in some respects considered to be in the image of God, but not as we were before the fall. We were created in the image of God. We fell. By sin, we fell. But in Christ, we are being recreated to be conformed into the image of God's Son, which in a sense is just another way of saying being conformed into the image of God. So there is a proper sense in which we are aspiring to be like God. But when that desire is not submitted to God in humble worship and obedience and loving adoration, then it becomes a rebellious act. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to have the same rights and privileges of God. I'm going to, and this is the primary issue right here, I'm going to rule my own life. The Bible indicates that God is the one who has the right to rule. I'm the only one who has the right to rule, but I defy that. I am master of my fate. I will be like God. And so the process goes on. In our minds, we tend to pull God down to our level and try to exalt ourselves up to God's level. So what we do is end up thinking too little of God and too much of ourselves. And that's really why it's so helpful to look at this section in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and see how Paul uses the backdrop of human sin and failure as a way of displaying the unfailing faithfulness of God. In other words, Paul brings man down to his proper level. Paul describes man as he truly is in his weakness and failure, and then God uses that to teach us, Paul uses that rather, to teach us some wonderful truths about God. So we've got a little bit more time for that today, and this is Friday, October 14. Thank you for joining us, and please remember that we are dependent upon the gifts of our radio listeners to keep this Bible teaching ministry on the air. So back to our text, where we have been sojourning for some time. The description of man's failure is 2 Timothy 4:16, where Paul says, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." That's man's failure. What a disappointing failure of men, Christian men, at that. Not even unconverted, ungodly men, Christian men. What a disappointing failure. Man is not faithful. Man is not reliable, but contrasted with this wonderful description of God. Verse 17, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." And so we've been working through four important lessons about God that Paul teaches us here. And the first one was, and is, that God is independent of man, not dependent upon man's performance to accomplish his purposes. What a wonderful truth. And I really am greatly concerned about those who fail to grasp that and fail to cling to that and remind themselves of that, those who deny it. I suppose I've told you this before, but it had such an impact on me. It goes back, I suppose, 30 or more years now, when I was a much younger pastor than I am now. And I had one of those occasions where I was in the hospital, this time in another city, and I don't even remember who I was visiting, what the occasion was, but I was in the hall waiting, I suppose, to go in, maybe taking a break, waiting while someone was in surgery. I really don't remember, but I was standing in the hall, and I overheard a hospital chaplain and another minister talking about a particular patient, obviously that belonged to the church of the other minister, and he and the chaplain were talking about it. And I don't remember which one said this, but one of them said, "Well, I hope you didn't tell them that God is responsible for this tragedy." And the other one said, "Oh, no, 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 I didn't tell them that God is responsible for this tragedy. I told them that God's a God of love and that Satan is responsible for this tragedy." That sounds kind and sounds helpful. But I want to strongly assert that it is neither. So many things that sound kind and sound helpful turn out to be the exact opposite. So much of the time that turns out to be the case. That's why we need the Spirit of God to teach us. That's why we need the Word of God as our textbook, so that our thinking can be straightened out. And this is one of those areas. Here was a minister who had someone in the hospital who had had a serious situation, some kind of a tragedy. I would presume maybe some kind of an accident, though it certainly could have been some kind of an illness. And they were dealing with this. It could have even been a death. I don't know what the details were. But here they were in the hospital dealing with this difficult situation. And both of these ministers thought the best way to minister to them was to assure them that God was not responsible for their sorrow. God is a God of love, and He wouldn't allow something like that to happen. Satan is the bad guy. He's the one who's responsible for this. Well, like so many things in the Bible, this is a rather complex issue. And there is a sense in which Satan is responsible for many of these things. We don't know if Satan was responsible for this one or not. What we do know from the Bible is that God was responsible because He takes responsibility for everything. And even when Satan is involved, it's God who is superintending. God even uses the sin and evil of men and devils to accomplish His purposes. And what you are telling people is, when you tell them that God is not responsible for this, that God is a God of love, God wouldn't want anything like this to happen, what you're telling them is that God is very, very weak, that He is helpless, that He would have prevented it if He could. Evidently. But He didn't. So He can't. What kind of a God is that? That's no God at all. That's not the God of the Bible. That is a petty God. That is a pagan God. The pagan gods were all basically just super men. They were men with slightly greater powers than men, but basically just like men, with all of their weaknesses and limitations, including their sinful desires. And so pagan gods have all kinds of sinful escapades and so forth. Read the Greek mythologies about the gods, and you'll get an idea. And that's pretty much the same all across the world, all across the board, all across history. Pagan gods, in other words, false gods, always turn out to be very much like men. No surprise, because they are nothing more than the mental projections of human description and thought about man, really, more than God, and a rejection of what the Bible teaches us about who God truly is. So, no, it's not helpful to tell people that God didn't do this. God's not responsible for this. God didn't want this. God wouldn't want this. Well, then, God is very weak and powerless, and He does not truly rule and reign, and there's no guarantee that any of His promises will come to pass because He can be thwarted. He might have such good intentions, but there's no guarantee they'll be carried out because He is frustrated. He is easily frustrated. Things happen that He doesn't want to happen. And that's the God that we are supposed to worship and serve and adore and trust? No, that's not kind. That's not helpful. That is cruel. That is sinful. That is wrong. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.